Ushmartem es chukosai v'es mishpatai asher ya'ase osam ha'adam v'chai bahem. You must observe my commandments, you will perform them, and you will live by them. This famous pasuk, Perek Yudches, pasuk Hey, is understood by the Gemara as the basis of a very fundamental halacha. According to the Gemara, we learn from this pasuk, and specifically the final phrase of v'chai bahem, that the default position in Yiddishkeit, the default approach of Judaism, is that Torah, Judaism, is meant to be a way of life and not death. And therefore, if a person is forced to make the tragic choice between violating a mitzvah or giving up one's own life, v'chai bahem v'lo sheyamus bahem, a person is not only permitted, but commanded to choose life, to violate the Avera, even when it's serious, for example, a Shabbos or Yom Kippur, and not to allow yourself to be martyred. This is not only an important practical halacha, but expresses a fundamental Jewish value, one which, as we see, is unfortunately strongly in contrast to our enemies who tragically relish, seem to even worship death. Judaism is a religion of life, v'chai bahem. However, just as important and just as famous, the Gemara itself continues and adds that there are exceptions to the rule. Notably, if it is one of the three cardinal averos, of idolatry, sexual immorality, or murder, then the halacha is the opposite. Yahareg va'al yavor. Those are such cardinal principles that a Jew is never allowed to violate those, and one is even obligated to give up his or her own life rather than violate. But as I mentioned, as important as this halacha is, it is also the exception. It's those rare situations in which a person must be willing to die al kiddush Hashem, as Jews over the course of Jewish history have done, specifically to avoid having to commit to another religion, for example, during the time of the Crusades. But that is the second halacha, and it is the exception to the rule, when you have to die al kiddush Hashem. But the rule, in the more common situation, v'chai behem, v'lo sheyamus behem, in most cases we say, ya'avor v'al yahareg. I want to ask a simple question. What is the relationship between these two halachos? It would seem that the simple understanding of the Gemara is that these are two separate rules, two independent categories, perhaps one could say even opposite of each other. First, there is v'chai behem, instructing us that in most cases we are not required to give up our lives, and that we are not required to die al kiddush Hashem. And then there is the second halacha, the second category, those rare and extreme situations where the halacha does require kiddush Hashem, does require us to die rather than violate. However, unlike this simple understanding, Rav Pam, in the Sefer Atara Lamelech, posits an alternative explanation, based on an intriguing comment in the Medrash. The Pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Tetzayin, tells us that there is a song which is Yisudaso Bahare Kodesh, a song whose foundation is in the holy mountains. And the Medrash wonders, the Medrash asks, what is going on here? What are these Harare Kodesh? What are these holy mountains? And the Gemara itself, excuse me, the Medrash itself gives a number of explanations and interpretations for this intriguing phrase, and one of the last ones in the Medrash suggests the following. In the words of the Medrash, Yisaduso shel olam Yerushalayim, which I would understand to mean the foundation of the world, but not just the world in a physical sense, the world in the sense of spiritual aspiration, the world which is centered around Yerushalayim, the gateway to heaven, the Shar HaShemayim. What is the foundation of that world, of that life of the spirit of Avodas Hashem? Bizchus Shnei Harim Kadoshim, says the Medrash, is in the merit of two holy mountains, Har Sinai and Har HaMoriah. This is intriguing, but ultimately enigmatic. What does the Medrash have in mind? What is the Medrash trying to convey? So Rav Pam explains that Har HaMoriah is notably where Akedas Yitzchak took place. Akedas Yitzchak is the paradigm, the original, which taught us how to give up our lives to sanctify Hashem's name. Yitzchak was called upon and was willing and answered the call to make the ultimate sacrifice. He was willing to give up his life because of Hashem's command. He was willing to die al kiddush Hashem. Har HaMoriah is the paradigm for that extreme but necessary, in those rare circumstances, that extreme requirement to die al kiddush Hashem. However, the other mountain mentioned in the Medrash, Har Sinai, is where we receive the Torah. The Torah, a guidebook for life, of laws, of regulations, and of values, which instruct us and which guide us on how to live a life of Kiddush Hashem by following those laws and those values. In other words, says Rav Palm, the two scenarios in the Gemara that we started with don't represent two independent religious values, but rather two applications of the same values. They're two sides of the same and identical coin, because in fact, it's not that there is a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem or an exemption from Kiddush Hashem. Sometimes you die, sometimes you live. Rather, two different ways of being Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. Yes, sometimes, rarely, but yes, sometimes we are called upon to die al Kiddush Hashem. But more often we are required to live al Kiddush Hashem. We must live lives that, as the Gemara Masechta Yoma, Daf Pei Vav relates, reflect well on and bring honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to live lives not only of meaning and of spirituality, but also of goodness, of kindness, of menschlichkeit, so that if a person would see you, and they would say, who is that person's father or mother? Who is that person's teacher? Ashrei, praised is the one who taught such a child, who raised such a person. Look how good and kind and fine they are. That type of life, living, is also a Kiddush Hashem. It's not just that we have to sometimes die al Kiddush Hashem. Most of the time, the requirement is to live al Kiddush Hashem. One aspect of Kiddush Hashem is symbolized by the sacrifice associated with Har HaMoriah. But another, perhaps more important aspect of Kiddush Hashem is symbolized by Har Sinai. It's not that sometimes we have to die al Kiddush Hashem, but most of the time we're exempt from the mitzvah. We're always obligated in Kiddush Hashem. Just sometimes that is through death, and most of the time it's through life. But either way, it's Kiddush Hashem. They aren't two separate or independent, and they're certainly not two conflicting values or categories. They are two sides of the same coin, of one value, Kiddush Hashem. The two forms, the two applications, the two ways of fulfilling Kiddush Hashem are represented by the two mountains, Har Sinai and Har HaMoriah. I came back just recently from a trip to the U.S. where I spent Pesach at a program with my broader and extended family. And there, in many private conversations, as well as in my numerous public presentations, shiurim, and lectures, people were very interested to hear about what's going on in Israel, to talk about the war, the soldiers, and the ultimate sacrifice, the selflessness, dedication of the soldiers during the war. People are appropriately interested and inspired by the soldiers who died al Kiddush Hashem, as we should all be. And as I have often noted in my teachings on Tisha B'Av, the Esh Kodesh makes the point, one of his drushos to the Jews of the Warsaw Ghetto, that dying to protect one's fellow Jew is actually a higher level of Kiddush Hashem than dying for the sake of Hashem. At first glance, this sounds extreme or even shocking, but he explains in the name of his father based on a very simple, logical proposition. If I could use a modern American analogy, if a Secret Service agent was willing to take a bullet for the president, that certainly shows a dedication and a loyalty to the president. But if that same Secret Service agent was willing not only to die for the president, but was willing to take a bullet for the president's son, for the president's daughter, even shows an even greater level of loyalty to the president. Not only willing to die for the president, but even willing to die for the president's children. So too says Eish Kodesh. Someone who's willing to die for Hashem's honor is amazing. But someone who's even willing to die for Hashem's children, who's willing to die to protect and in honor and to save his fellow Jews, that's an even higher level of Kiddush Hashem. So certainly, yes, absolutely, we should admire, we should revere, we should be so appreciative of the incredible sacrifice that the soldiers have been willing to make. However, as I tried to communicate, both in public and in private, perhaps even more inspiring and more instructive than the way these soldiers died was how they lived. Soldiers who both before and incredibly even during the war are committed to Torah, to Ahavas Yisrael, and to Ahavas Eretz Yisrael. We as a community have so much to be proud of. As I'm sure you no doubtly have realized, as I have, whether you're near or far, I think it's become somewhat obvious if you have your eyes open, that the Dati, the religious community, is disproportionately represented not only among the soldiers in Gaza or other dangerous places, but they have unfortunately been disproportionately represented in the number of soldiers who have given the ultimate sacrifice, who have died al Kiddush Hashem. And it's an incredible, incredible act of selfless sacrifice, and one which we are all admiring, and as a community we can be proud of. But all of these soldiers, and thank God the many, many, many thousands who are still alive, and Hashem should continue to watch over them, but way before they were called upon to make that ultimate sacrifice, the Har HaMoriah version of Kiddush Hashem, they had lived lives of Kiddush Hashem. They represented Har Sinai well before they were called upon to embody Har HaMoriah. As many of you know, in addition to my teaching and rabbinating here in Israel, I also have the zechus to be the director of a very special organization called Salash, or Tzava L'Shem Shemayim, and we provide all sorts of services and help to the religious soldiers and their families. And to just give one data point to illustrate this larger principle that I'm describing, just one point, our organization, just in the last 6-7 months, just since the war started, we have published and distributed more than 15,000 Sfarim, which we have delivered from the Lebanon border in the north, in the Shtachim, Yehuda v'Shomron in the center, and even into Gaza itself, including in the center of Gaza, Khan Yunis, the north of Gaza. We have distributed Sfarim that I had the zechus to write, Gemara's Chumashim, and we've now, as of Pesach, distributed and published 6 volumes of Rav Asher Weiss's Sfarim Minchas Asher, that he and we together with Salash have specifically and specially designed and published and adapted for the Chayalim. Just incredible that no matter where they are, no matter how hard they're working, and how much danger they're in, there's such a tzimaon, such a thirst for Torah. Incredible. Incredible. Just to give you 2 examples of where this is conveyed, I mentioned that I myself have been working on Sfarim for the soldiers, and even though I put a lot of time into writing these Sfarim, but I'm aware that the Hebrew has to be even better than I'm capable of if it's going to be appropriate for these Israeli soldiers. And therefore, I have an editor to help me. And one of them, who is an Avreich, the Kolel in the Gush Yeshiva, is a soldier. And he, for whatever reason, was not called up on Simchas Torah, or the day after, or even the day after that. And he was trying day after day to get himself called up. But I, selfishly, I admit, I was somewhat happy that he wasn't called up, because I was working on this 4th Sefer, which I just published, and he was helping me with it. And as long as he wasn't called up, as long as he was still in the Beis Medrash, I could use his help. And then a few weeks into the war, he sent me a text in which he explained that he was finishing off what would be the last piece that he'd have time to do. I needed to find someone else, because tomorrow, Baruch Hashem, I got called up, I'm going into Gaza. Baruch Hashem, he said. And of course, he was not boasting. He wasn't trying to show off. He was sincere and authentic. He was happy to be able to fight for Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. He was going not from or leaving the Beis Medrash, but bringing the Beis Medrash and the values of Torah with him as he went to defend the Jewish people. And I mentioned our project with Rav Asher Weiss, which has been a resounding and incredible success. And I have countless, countless pictures and videos of soldiers thanking me, thanking our organization, thanking Rav Asher for the Torah that we've been able to provide them. And perhaps my favorite of all of them was a video I received one night, late at night actually, on a Thursday night, where a soldier sent me a picture of himself in pitch black, just with a little light, flashlight over his head, learning the Sefer. And when I asked him where he was, he wrote back 3 words, B'lev Khan Yunis, in the heart of Khan Yunis. And then he followed up with a whole video where he explained, and you could hear the bombs and the noise in the background, how he was among many soldiers who, when they had free time, even among the difficult missions that they were doing there in Gaza, was so happy to learn. He was with the Chabura people, he told me, who were learning the Sefer. And he was so proud and excited. He said, there are so many soldiers who are learning. He describes himself as being part of Echad Mesnifei Yeshivat Chan Yunis. I'm part of one of the branches, the many branches of Yeshivot that are in now in Chan Yunis. Groups of soldiers of various places who are learning. He added, somewhat humorously afterwards, that the place, the location where he was in, Od lo muftach maspik lazmina tarav l'seit shiur kan etzlenu. It was not yet safe enough to invite Rav Asher Weiss himself personally to give the shiur in Gaza. But he hopes that one day soon, if not Rav Asher coming to Gaza, even better, will be after the war when he and his friends can go to Yerushalayim and go to Rav Asher's shiurim there in person. I mean, this is just incredible that we have such incredible soldiers, not only who are willing to go to the front line, who are willing to pick up a gun to get into a tank to defend us, but who didn't just pick up a gun, who used their other hand to pick up a sefer, to take a sefer with them, because even though they had to leave the physical confines of the Beis Medrash or the protective spiritual and physical homes that they were coming from, but they left it physically, but they didn't leave it spiritually or ideologically. They brought the values of Torah, the values of the Beis Medrash, the values of the Gemara, of the Chumash, of the Mishnah, with them and into war. Esa Einai El Haharim. Tehillim tells us in a later perek, we should look to the mountains for inspiration. Which mountains? So I would suggest, based on the pasuk we began with, Yisudaso Baharei Kodesh. We should look to which mountains? The mountains of Har HaMoriah and of Har Sinai. The soldiers represent the best of both of these. They've all scaled the heights of Har Sinai, and some of them have even tragically had to ascend the summit of Har HaMoriah. Most people, most soldiers, Bli Ayin Hara, and most people, certainly most citizens, will never be called on to scale the heights of Har HaMoriah. We won't ever be called on to live out one of those rare circumstances of Yihareg V'al Yavor. We won't be required to dial Kiddush Hashem. But everyone must aspire to and can reach the summit of Har Sinai through our learning, through our chesed, through our mitzvos, and through our menschlichkeit. Now, more than ever, we who are not risking our lives are called on to scale these mountains, to scale the mountain of Har Sinai. We owe it to ourselves, and we certainly owe it to the soldiers. May Hashem continue to protect them, and may we, all of us, each in our own way, do what we can to preserve their merits, to emulate them, to follow their lead, and to continue to live lives that are worthy of the risks that they are taking on our behalf.